To date, in our studies in Luke chapter 10, we have thought about the harvest scene dealt with in verses 1 through 24. Now, I didn't expound all of those verses. I just touched upon the tip of the iceberg, as it were. But we were highlighting the theme of that particular part of the chapter. Then we followed that up by thinking about the highway scene dealt with in verses 25 through 37, and our focus was upon the good deed performed by the man known as the Good Samaritan. Now we come for the final time to think about the home scene described for us here in verses 38 through 42. It's the home of Martha and Mary, and we assume their brother Lazarus. It was located in Bethany, a small village on the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives, about 2 miles or thereabouts from the city of Jerusalem. On this occasion, Jesus came to their home, and Luke introduces Martha and Mary for the first time into his gospel. What a wonderful scene we have before us, keeping in mind that it is a house scene. Keeping in mind that these were three believers who lived in this house. Therefore, we have a Christian family before us tonight, and we want to have a look just to see what took place in this home when the Lord Jesus Christ stopped by. Three simple things I want to share with you. I may not get to the second one tonight or the third one. If not, we'll come back and deal with it another time. But first of all, I want to give attention to the visit of Christ to the home. Now, if you look down there at verse 38, and you will read there that Martha received him into her house. Martha received him into her house. Now, there are just a few things lying here on the surface. I want to just leave them before you for your consideration. First of all, it was a providential visit. Now, why do I say that? Well, if you look there at how verse 38 begins, it begins with these words, "Now it came to pass in the providence of God." Now, I don't know how many times these words are found in the Bible, but I know they're found many, many times. And when you come across these particular words, think about the providence of God. And it came to pass in the providence of God that Jesus stopped by this house on the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives. There was no mistake about this. There had to be a reason why he stopped by on this occasion. So it was a providential visit. But then you can see that it was also a personal visit, because it says he entered into her house. The Lord had business in this house. He didn't send a disciple. He didn't send a substitute. He felt it was necessary for him to stop by on this occasion. He had something to say. He had something to sort out in this particular home. It was a personal visit. And then it was also a profitable visit. Why do I say that? I say that for this reason, because both sisters learned important lessons. They learned about themselves, and they learned about each other, and they learned something more about Jesus. Now, we're gathered in a house tonight. It's the house of God, and the Lord has stopped by in his divine providence. He has come personally by his Spirit to impart something to us. He has business for this meeting tonight. And I trust that it will be a profitable time spent around the Word, when we will learn something about ourselves. We'll learn something about others. Not to be judgmental. I think that was a lesson that Mary learned, at least one of the lessons she learned. And may we learn more especially more about the Lord. This was a gracious visit. Oh, that the Lord in his divine providence would come to this house by his Spirit and visit these earthen vessels that would be most profitable. I don't know about you, but I can truly say tonight, as a preacher, as an individual, as a Christian, I have need of a divine visitation. Just as the Lord came to the Garden of Eden to visit Adam and Eve in their home. Now, I don't know how long Adam and Eve remained in that perfect condition in which they were created, sinless. I don't know how long that lasted. But I do know that for a period of time, long or short, they enjoyed fellowship with Christ when he came to visit their home. What a beautiful home they had. Now, think about a few things. I thought about these today. Remember the book of Exodus? Quite a bit of the book of Exodus is giving details and instructions about the tabernacle, the materials involved and the furniture that had to be made and so on. And the tabernacle speaks to us of Christ, about his work. Remember the one who tabernacled among us, who dwelt among us. So it's all about Christ. And at the end of the book, chapter 40, verse 33, we discover there that Moses finished the work of the tabernacle. Then the glory of God came down and filled that place. God came down. God visited his people in the tabernacle. In verse 33 of chapter 40, we read, Moses finished the work. Does that not sound familiar to us? We're talking here about a finished work. Then in the very next verse, verse 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. After God's servant finished the work, then God came down and the glory filled that house. Oh, this is a wonderful picture here. This is a wonderful foreshadowing of the work of our great Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. I also think then of the next structure that replaced the tabernacle in the days of Solomon. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 14 shows that Solomon, the one appointed to build the temple, finished the work of the temple. The temple also is a type of Christ. And then the glory of God filled the house. God came down again. It was a divine visitation. We read, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. There's the finished work again. And then we continue on in verse 14 to read what happened. After the work was finished, after the work was completed, the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. God came down. After the Lord Jesus Christ finished the work of redemption on the cross, what happened? The glory of God came down and filled the church. How do I know? Well, bear with me. Remember what he cried in John 19, verse 30? It is finished. What's finished? The work the Father gave him to do. Moses finished the work the Father gave him. Solomon finished the work the Father gave him. Then the glory fell. And Christ, the Son of God, the eternal Son, finished the work the Father gave him to do. And then you go into the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 2. We read something glorious and wonderful. We read about a rushing mighty wind filled the house where they were sitting. They weren't rolling on the floor. They were sitting in a dignified fashion. They were engaging in prayer. And the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. God came down. The work of Christ was finished when he cried, it is done, it's complete, it's finished. And in response to that finished work, God sent the Holy Spirit, the love gift, to the church, to indwell the church of Jesus Christ, to bring upon the church of God the blessings purchased by the atoning sacrifice of Christ, who completed the work of redemption when he cried, "It is done," teaching us that all the blessings that come to the church of God come to us through the perfection of Christ and the work that he wrought for his people on Calvary's cross. They're flowing tonight, hallelujah. They're coming to us now as the people of God. Oh, that we might sense a gracious reviving of our hearts tonight, that the Lord would come down. Today the church, consisting of all true believers, as the dwelling place of God on earth. Oh, that he would visit us afresh. And God comes to visit his church because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that work is ever before the Father. And when we congregate in God's house under the means of grace, we gather in the place of prayer, we're in the right place, the place where God wants his people to be. And by faith we need to appropriate all the fullness of the blessing of Christ and all the fullness of the blessings purchased for us through his atoning sacrifice. Therefore we have the right to come to God and pray, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee," because of the work of Jesus Christ that is ever before the Father. It's speaking blood. It speaks to the Father on our behalf. Would you not agree with me tonight that what we need is a divine visitation? Need God to come down. And as long as that work is ever before the Father, we are guaranteed of times of refreshment from the presence of God. I better get back to the message or we'll be here all night. Might have to turn this into three messages. This is a divine, gracious visitation. Now, as far as we know, and as far as commentators are concerned, it was mid-December, 29 A.D., time of the Feast of Dedication, that we read of in John chapter 10, verse 22. Christ was in Jerusalem at that particular time, according to John chapter 10. It was Hanukkah. It was the Festival of Lights. It was an eight-day holiday from the 25th of Kislew to commemorate the rededication of the temple in 165 B.C. by the Maccabees after it had been desecrated by Antiochus, the king of Syria. He even offered a pig on the altar in the temple. He desecrated that place. And the Maccabees, they were able to fight against him. They organized this rebellion. Antiochus took Jerusalem in 167 B.C., but it was reclaimed in 165 B.C., and therefore they had this rededication service. It was marked by the successive lighting of eight lights. And apparently, the first time that they did this, they hadn't enough oil to keep the eight lamps going. They only had a certain amount that would do one. But the miraculous thing, this is the way it goes. This is what I've heard and read, that the oil miraculously was multiplied during that eight-day period. Hanukkah means dedication or rededication. Maybe we have come tonight in mid-December, and the celebrations this year run from the 10th of December to the 18th. What date's this? This is the 15th. This time of the year, out in the land of Israel, they'll be celebrating Hanukkah. Now it's the 25th of December. That's what this month means. It was November-December time. Some people then are of the opinion, okay, I'm convinced Jesus was born on the 25th of December. I'm not so sure about that. I think it was later. Some people hold that view. I don't particularly hold that view. But it was at this time of the year, winter time, the Lord would die the following March, April, the following year. But he is the one who said in John 12, I am the light of the world. Put a light. Put a light. And this dark world of ours needs a light. Our country needs a light. Our churches need the light. Preaching the light. I am the light of the world. This glorious message that revives the hearts of the people of God. This glorious message that converts the sinner. May we not deviate from preaching Christ and Him crucified. This was a gracious visitation when the Lord stopped off at Bethany. Now in the Bible we read of how He visited many homes during His earthly pilgrimage. I think, for example, the time when He left the synagogue in Capernaum, and He traveled with Peter and the others to Peter's house, entered into the house. It's always good to take Jesus with you when you leave the house of God, to bring Him with you into your own house. Isn't that a good thought? Peter brought Jesus home with him from church. And wasn't he glad that he did? Because there was an issue in the house. His mother-in-law lay sick of a fever. She was burning up. And lo and behold, Christ intervened. And He resolved the issue in the house. I think about the time when He entered into the house of Jairus. He was a ruler. He was a good man. But his daughter was ill. And then his daughter died. And so the Lord entered into a place of death. But that didn't last. Because Christ did the unthinkable. Christ did the impossible. He raised that little 12-year-old girl. Think about another house, the house of Levi. He was just converted. He invited some of his friends into his house for a dinner. He invited the Lord home as well. And what happened? The friends of Levi had the gospel preached to them and how they needed to hear the gospel. Now, every church has an issue, a situation from time to time. Every Christian home has a situation or a crisis or a situation from time to time. And we as individuals, we too have situations or issues from time to time. How we need Jesus. How we need His hand to be upon us in our homes, in our church, in our own personal lives. But this church has an issue. I'm not thinking of anything bad. We need a pastor. We need a preacher. We need to get on our faces before God and pray that God will come, because we have a great need in this church. I've had many men, and many more will come in the will of God. We've had some issues with people being sick and so on, but we've tried to get the Sundays filled up as best we can. And when I come on a Tuesday night, I meet different people, and they said to me, That's a good man we had on Sunday. Yeah, I agree with that. Those were two good sermons, yes. I would agree with that. Then the next Sunday, next Tuesday night, they come back again, and somebody else says, that was a good man we had on Sunday. Those were two good messages again on Sunday. And it happens the third time and the fourth time. And we've had good men, and they are good men. And there have been some very good sermons preached. Praise the Lord for that. And I trust you'll continue to enjoy the ministry of those who are coming to preach to you. But it is important not only to get good men who preach good messages. The all-important thing is to get God's man. That's it. I think of the time when Nathan had to reprove David. And he stood in the presence of the king, and he said, David, thou art the man. Do you see him? He's pointing the man out. Thou art the man. And we need the Lord to so work and so come upon us that we as a congregation will have no doubt about it when it comes to the time of deciding about a future pastor. We'll be able to say, thou art the man. The same thing happened with Pilate when he addressed those who were round about him. What did he say? I can just see him lifting his finger. Behold the man. There's the man there. May the Lord so work and so move that we will be left with no doubt at all who God's man is for this congregation. We need a divine visitation. We need God to come. And I think even of the time when the Lord moved Samuel, he told him to fill his horn. It was the ram's horn. Fill it with oil. I want you to go and anoint a king. And he saw seven sons, and he thought, well, that could be the man there. He's burly, he's a good man, he would be a good king. He's got the right to seek. And he went through all these seven men, and God said, no. And he said to Jesse, do you have any more sons, any more children? I have one, but he's out looking after the sheep. You wouldn't be interested in seeing him. He's only a teenager. And you know what the Lord said? The Lord said to Samuel, this is he. This is the man. I want you to anoint this man. This is the man. This is the man I want you to anoint. We need spiritual discernment. We need to have understanding hearts. We need to be right ourselves. Need to be often at the throne of grace praying and seeking the face of God to get ourselves right with God, that God might be pleased to flow through us and that the will of God might be done in this congregation to the glory of God. We need a divine visitation. Need God to come. If that doesn't happen, we could make a mistake. That would be disastrous. But I have confidence in the Lord, and I have confidence in his mighty power. Matthew Henry said, Christ's visits are tokens of his love. In John chapter 11, verse 5, it says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved the people in this house in Bethany. Let me say something to you, child of God. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves us in spite of our shortcomings and our failures. And we as the people of God ever need to be reminded of this truth. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Maybe there are times you feel you are not loved by him. That you have let him down so badly that you can hardly lift up your head when you come to the house of God. But let me remind you of this statement of the love of God for his people. We often need to be reminded of this. It's not really about our love for Christ. Our love can change, but he is unchanging. It's all about his love for us. That's the all important thing. We can sing like the children, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And the next time you feel that he doesn't care or he doesn't love you, pick up the New Testament. Go to John 11, verse 5. Let that truth sink into your heart. Now we're told that Martha received him into her house. And that word receive simply means to receive under one's roof. The name Martha is of Aramaic origin and means lady. Martha was a lady. And it means mistress of the house. I believe that she was the house owner. She had received him into her heart, but now she receives him into her home. He was seated in her heart, upon the throne of her heart, and then he was seen in her home. Let me apply that. What is on the inside will be manifest on the outside. What's in here will eventually work its way out. And if the heart is not right, if what's in here is not right, it will manifest itself in the life. The life will not be right. Someone said the heart ought not to be an inn where the Lord sometimes comes, but a home where he always abides. I better stop here. It was a great day when Jesus came to visit the home in Bethany. And Martha was eager to celebrate the occasion by laying on the best that she had in the home. Best cutlery, if we can use that expression. Best plates. The best food. Everything. Only the best for Jesus. And that's right. Not a thing wrong with that. But I think all that the Lord wanted at this stage, in the light of what lay before him and the months that lay ahead, he just wanted peace and quiet. Mary understood that and sat at his feet to worship him. But Mary didn't. She was cumbered about much serving. And that's why Jesus commended Mary, because she had chosen that part that was needful. She focused all of her thoughts and attention upon Christ. Now, Mary, she was involved in the greeting of Christ into the home. That's what the Bible says. Which also sat at Jesus' feet. She had welcomed him in and was involved in those preparations. But then she felt the need just to withdraw for a little time and to sit down and focus on Christ. Maybe that's what we need tonight. Just to sit down and to focus on Christ. And pray that the Lord will come down afresh. We need a fresh visitation of God. We'll come back, God willing, and we'll finish off the other 2 points again. So this wasn't the final look at Luke chapter 10. We'll have to come back again. So please, if you can, make your way again to the house of God, God willing, next time, and we'll get it finished off in the will of God. But let me impress upon you now, thou God seest me. Blessed Lord, come down among us in all thy fullness and revive our hearts again. We'll close in prayer.